Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're exploring the wonderful world of Alice in Wonderland. No, we're not. Or maybe we are. Jeff Belanger, let's continue. You said UFOs. How do you bring UFOs into the picture? Just the stories of sightings or what?
A legend, to me, is a living, breathing thing, right? It's a thing that we all contribute to. It takes shape. It can grow up. It can marry. It can move and relocate, and it can die. And the only way a legend dies is if we stop talking about it. So if I say Santa Claus, I don't really have to say much else. You have a picture in your head. You know the backstory. You know the red suit. You know where he lives. You know the elves. You know all kinds of things, thanks to such a huge cultural influence. If I say Bigfoot, you have a picture in your head right now. There are so many things. I mean, there are living legends. There are sports legends, people that are playing their game at the highest level, and the story of them is bigger than the actual person. So when I started looking at legends and folklore, I wanted to include UFO stories, and I wanted to include Bigfoot sightings, cryptid sightings, monsters, lake monsters, all kinds of other things, because at some point, one person's ghost is another person's gray alien, is another person's hypnagogic hallucination, is another person's who knows what. And so for me, I didn't feel qualified to try to put these things in specific boxes and say, well, that's clearly a gray from the Andromeda galaxy, and this is a Bigfoot from the Pacific Northwest. It's all kind of strange. And I think the further out I looked and just looked at the story, then it got a lot more interesting for me. It's not up to me which place is haunted or which town like Roswell gets a reputation for being a UFO hotspot or whatever. It's a collective thing. And collectively, a whole community has decided that, you know, we're going to keep this story going, usually because something continues to happen, because someone sees things or experiences things that kind of like gives that story a shot in the arm and people keep talking about it. A few months ago, I got into researching a really interesting guy named Sir Francis Galton over in England. And he came up with this theory called the wisdom of the crowd. And it's really awesome. I love when sometimes math can prove something to be true. In 1906, in the West of England Fat Stock and Poultry Exhibition, which I'm sure was a rockin' good time, they have this annual event where you guess the weight of the prize ox. You've probably seen this in county fairs, wherever, right? I mean, this still happens to this day. Guess the weight of the cow, whatever. And so Francis Galton was observing people writing on slips of paper what they thought the weight of the ox was. And he said to the organizers, hey, when this is over, can I please have all those slips of paper? And they said, yeah, sure, we're done with them. So he takes them back, and there's 800 entries. Of the 800, 13, he says, are illegible. I can't read them, so he discards them. So that leaves us with 787 entries to review. No one got the exact weight correct. But when he took the average of all of the guesses of the weight of the ox, it came out to 1,197 pounds, and the actual weight of the ox was 1,198 pounds. And he said, he put this whole theory together, that collectively this crowd made the right choice. Some people were way off. Some little kids probably said 200 pounds. Someone else probably said 5,000 pounds. No one got it exactly right, but collectively they were within 1 pound, well under 1% of the actual weight. And so he was using this to say, like, look it, when we're talking about big group decisions, usually like voting, collectively we're going to arrive at pretty close to the right choice. And that was his point. And I use this as an analogy to legends and lore. If a community has said this house is haunted or this is where Bigfoot lurks, there's some group decision here. There's group input where different people have heard and seen things that they deemed credible enough that they told others and they passed the word along, or they went out and looked for themselves. And so my point is that we can trust the folklore to a certain extent, that this is indeed a hotspot where something happened, that something I can't always determine, but something left a mark here and we're still experiencing it.
They did it. Actually, they made a show, TV show called Wisdom of the Crowd, based on that whole thing where they try to solve cases based on crowdsourcing. I think it's really quite fascinating.
Guess the number of gumballs in the big jar, right? Same thing. It's the same exact thing. Get enough people and you'll get close to the truth. That is fascinating because you've always thought of crowds as not that bright. You know, like individuals are smart, but when we get into a herd, boy, we can go nuts. You know, go to any sporting event, right? Where fights break out and things. But when we can think calmly and logically and collectively, we can get to the truth.
So then again, I mean, in those kinds of examples, what we're dealing with is we have something fairly objective, like say the weight of a cow.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we were to say, okay, well, thunder. Is it Thor, you know, or is it one of other six or seven or eight other gods, or whatever it happens to, you know, what do you think? Then, you know, the crowd, no matter what, the right answer just isn't in the list. So it doesn't matter what they say. It's not going to be correct.
Well, wait, no, hold on now. So to say it's Thor is the thunder that you hear above your head. Allow me to take the defense of Thor. Some force is acting above your head that's bigger than you that has caused thunder. You named it Thor. We've later learned that it's, you know, high pressure and low pressure and hot and cold colliding and so on. But maybe we're coming down to semantics and labels, but you do know that something just happened that doesn't usually happen unless it's cloudy and stormy and so on. So
good point. I see where you're going with this.
You know what I mean?
Just because it wasn't Thor doesn't mean something never happened.
Something did happen, I promise you.
Something did happen, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a really, really valid point. This is what gets me, too, with the skeptics where they'll say people's memory is like way off and they'll get 20 people to all try to describe an accident. And because they all get everything different, they try to claim that the memory is so bad that nothing ever, you know, nothing significant happened. But I don't think that because people maybe didn't remember the number of rivets in the side of the airplane that there was no airplane.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
and so all 20 people describe the accident slightly different, but all 20 people know there was an accident.
Exactly. You know, and that maybe there was something odd that happened with it. Maybe we don't know exactly what it was, or they get, you know, maybe a color wrong here, or maybe the number of passengers in the car wasn't quite right. But does that mean that we should write off the whole thing is that it never happened?
Yeah, well, at some point, if you completely discount human observation, I don't know what we're left with. Like, we're left with, I have no idea. I mean, then I guess we're just in the matrix, right? We're ones and zeros following some predetermined programming, and what's the fun of that?
Well, isn't observation the essence of empirical evidence?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, repeatable observations is science, and I get it. And that's why I think when it comes to the paranormal, as much as I appreciate some people try to apply science, I don't know if we'll ever get there because belief plays too much of a role in this. You have to believe that there is survival of death and that it can come in and out of our space for some reason, or that you have to believe that there are creatures that are out there that we have yet to document, like big tall ones or huge lake monsters or whatever. So I guess at some point it creates a bit of a leap of some sort. But one of the things I love when you talk to people who have witnessed something, my favorite witness often goes like this. Look, man, I don't know. I don't know if I believe in death, life, anything. All I know is I was standing here and there was a man in the corner with a beard this tall, looked right at me, and then he vanished. And living people don't do that. That's what I know. And I love that. It's so credible. It just reeks of just genuine human experience.
And that's what it really comes down to, doesn't it? Our experience, our human experience. And like, we can say, well, okay, it's life after death is logically impossible, but that doesn't mean that something isn't going on. So
right.
When you get these people who go, well, that's impossible, therefore it didn't happen. Well, that's not entirely logical either. I'm thinking, well, maybe we just need to try to come up with another explanation because it's happening. Therefore, something is going on, and maybe it's just what we assume it to be that isn't quite correct.
Before we find out what might be correct, Let's continue with Jeff Randall and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, this may be the last time you ever have to worry about hair loss. Because Bosley is the real deal. They're giving women and men their hair back permanently. Their real hair. All it takes to get started is a single text message. You'll get an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card when you text TITAN11 to 85850. Bosley will show you, for free, how great your hair could look. You'll also see, for free, why you're losing hair and how to get it back. Women and men all over the country trust Bosley because they're America's number one hair restoration expert. Ahead of the curve with the latest technology. And the best part? Bosley has permanent solutions to hair loss. You'll love what they'll do for your hair. So drop what you're doing long enough to send a text. Get your free information kit and gift card for $250 off by texting TITAN11 to 85850. Don't forget, that's TITAN11 to 85850.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendivite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Well, of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Making a statement there before Jeff Belanger picks up. Go ahead, please.
I think Jeff was just going to cut right in there. Yeah, because, yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
One of the things that I've explained when I run into someone who's skeptical about this, and that's fine. It's good. Skepticism is good. It's healthy. We should look at it from all angles. But one of the things that I like to tell people is that there's lots of stuff I can't prove to you. I can't put a ghost in a jar. God, I wish I could and just show it to you. But I also can't prove to you that humor is real. I can't prove to you that pain is real, that pleasure is real. None of it. I can't put that in a jar. It is a human experience. If you stuck a needle in my arm in front of a room full of people, I imagine a lot of folks would probably wince and say, I bet that hurts. And they'd probably be right. But what is my threshold of pain compared to yours? Maybe that's just like a 2 out of 10 for me. Maybe that's a 9 out of 10 for you. I mean, if you were to have the same thing happen. So this thing called pain that we've all experienced, love, which hopefully we've all experienced, I can't prove that's even real to you. But I hope that you felt it somewhere along the way from parents, from a lover, from someone, right? I hope you felt that emotion, even though I can't prove to you that it exists and I can't measure it. I can't scientifically put it in a beaker. But yet it is a very real part of our lives. And I think all of this stuff is. It's us contemplating really the biggest questions that humans have ever asked, right? Are we alone in the universe? What happens after we die? Do we know the creatures that walk the earth with us? That's it. Those three. Those are the biggies. And there's tons of others that shoot off of that. But those are the big ones, man. And that's why I stay up at night thinking about this. Like, what does it mean? Why is it here? Why am I looking into it? Why can I not stop? You know,
I think we're a bit of kindred spirit for sure there when it comes to all of that. And yeah, really, really valid points there. I mean, that all gets into the whole area of consciousness. And we have a huge thread on our forum about that. In fact, there's been a couple of really good posts lately on that that involve the philosopher Merleau-Ponty. And so before we get into that, on your 30 odd minutes show, it's, you know, it's one thing to try and prove what our experience is, but you guys actually are kind of, you're skeptical in your own way. You don't just believe in everything, because on that show, I've watched how you guys have said, no, this is just like some kind of a bug or a spider web in front of the lens. And we know that that's not really what the person thought it was. So I have a lot of respect for that personally.
Well, yeah, I mean, not everything that bumps in the night is a ghost. And I remember watching Michael Shermer speak. I got to see him speak in California. And he said, and I met him. He's a great guy. Like, I'm on his mailing list and everything. And so he was talking and he said, look, 99% of this stuff can be explained. And I leaped up and I said, I agree with you 100%. It's that 1% is where I live, right? I am not interested in the rule. I am interested in the exception. So I'm with you. 99% can probably be explained, but let's focus on the one. And that's what I've tried to make a career out of.
Right. That's like Stanton Friedman. You know, he's not interested in everything that's not a flying saucer. He's interested, or was interested, in the flying saucers. And he was very much what he called himself, a non-apologist ufologist, which I absolutely respect, because he wasn't afraid to say, look, I believe Earth is being visited by aliens from, and he believed they were from space, probably interstellar. I tend to empathize with that, but, you know, I don't know for sure. I kind of like the multiverse theory personally, but what we do know is that we've got these things coming into our sphere of experience somehow. We don't know exactly how or from where, but we just know it's happening.
So I've had the fortune of speaking at some of the same conferences that Stanton spoke at, and I've hung out with him a couple of times, and what a sweet guy, and will sorely be missed for sure. But yeah, no, I liked his no-nonsense approach, and but kind of warm heart, really. One of the things I struggle with UFO researchers is that they're trying so desperately, and I'm sorry to paint a broad stroke here, forgive me for this, but I think in some cases many UFO researchers are trying to turn a human experience into ones and zeros. And just the pure classification system, right? The close encounter of the first kind, second kind, third kind, has to do with, like, did it change you? Did it affect you? And so on. It's so hard to judge these things, because we're judging what a witness is reporting. I spoke to a MUFON researcher in Chicago once, and we were again at the same conference and talking, and I was talking to him and he said, yeah, we're working on this great case. It was a close encounter case and everything's lining up. The person's really credible. We're all taking down notes. Everybody had their tie on, by the way, not like the black t-shirts that us paranormal people wear. And so everybody's talking and suddenly they said, oh, by the way, our house is haunted as well. And he said it was like someone just farted in the car, you know, and you go, oh, so now suddenly you don't believe them anymore. Suddenly it's all over. No more UFO because they also believe their house is haunted. And I think this is the danger of labels. And this is why when we look at it all as just let's start with the story and go from there, then I think we can actually get a better rounded picture of what it is that might be going on as opposed to our narrow view of trying to fit it into a box for an experience that fits in no box to begin with, but we're trying desperately to do it. So that's why I've tried to zoom out and just be more of a story guy.
You know, in all this, I wonder, as we talk about ghosts, and you've been on some of the TV shows and radio shows, and we have all these reality shows, quote unquote, and I wonder here to what extent those shows, the articles, the magazines are corrupting people's perceptions of what's going on. And so It's like it feeds upon itself.
No, of course. And I get that. And I've worked for the Ghost Adventure show on the Travel Channel for 11 years now. I've worked on every episode. So I get it. And I've said before that I see these shows, all of them, as both a blessing and a curse. The blessing is that we are taking these fringe topics out of the closet and bringing them out into the mainstream. So 20, 30 years ago, I worked in an office in a very conservative corporation, and I worked there for only 7 months, but they were 7 long months. And you couldn't stand by the water cooler and talk about your house being haunted. That would be weird. You would definitely get some strange looks. Today, I think you could. Hey, did you see that weird show over the weekend? Yeah. Well, you know what? Actually, something like that happens at my house. And so suddenly we are allowed to talk about this stuff because it has entered the popular culture, because it has entered the mainstream. However, having been on, investigations that we've done with groups and stuff like that, it has definitely skewed the expectations where someone's like, hey, I've been here for 7 minutes. Something should happen. And then we cut to commercial. And, you know, you have to explain, well, what you're watching on those shows is edited for entertainment purposes. You're watching, a show might film for a week and take many, many hours of footage and bring it all down to just 40 something minutes of television with breaks.
You know what? We've been trained to look at reality as 43 minutes plus commercials, give or take, depending on the show. I get those timings from Netflix without the commercials, so I'm not making it up. I know about that.
Right.
And that kind of alters our perceptions. We've got more to come. Jeff Belanger, Ghost Hunter. Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Fellow patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
With the recovery from Hurricane Dorian just beginning, the last thing the Bahamas need now is another storm. Tropical Storm Humberto is coming. Jack Bevan is with the National Hurricane Center.
It does pose a threat of gusty winds up to tropical storm force and locally heavy rains over portions of the Bahamas. The impacts will be considerably less than occurred with Hurricane Dorian.
Forecasters now say the storm will stay offshore of Florida's eastern coast. Actress Felicity Huffman became the first person to be sentenced in the college admission scandal in Boston. She received a sentence of 14 days in jail, a $30,000 fine, 250 hours of community service, and a year's probation. 15 parents, including Huffman, have pleaded guilty. 9 others are fighting the charges. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
You guys have a great product, and I tell my friends about it, and I was actually talking to a guy the other day who I just met, and he takes them. So you put out a great product, and I want to thank you and your organization.
I just started using it, and my family's already seen the difference. And I have health issues. I have fibromyalgia, asthma, but all of a sudden everything's clearing up, and I'm feeling better, and my skin's better. My brother said I look 10 years younger already.
Wow. Okay.
My vision is clear. I already see the difference. People are seeing the difference, and my doctor's seeing the difference.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we come to this year.
Wait, I'm taking us out of this break. Right before we went to the break, you said 43 minutes. You said 43 minutes because, yeah, then the rest of it's commercials. And then we cut to a commercial. That's awesome. The timing was just great.
I planned that, by the way, folks. But the key, you know, that's our reality. Here it varies because the time between commercial breaks ranges from just under 9 minutes to just under 11 minutes. And the entire show is like an hour and 58 minutes. Really? Actual show content the rest of the year. And this is normal for network radio. So now you know all those secrets. Our reality, however, is more preserved when people subscribe to Paracast Plus. I got that in. And
yeah, well done.
For you, the ad-free version of the show, go to plus.theparacast.com for more, plus the After the Paracast podcast. The point here is we have our expectations. We believe UFOs are spaceships. 33% of Americans, according to the latest Gallup poll, believe UFOs are spaceships. The others may disbelieve or have various states of belief in different things, collective unconscious like our friend David Halperin, etc. The problem here is it feeds upon itself, and how then can you separate that belief expectation from something that may or may not be external?
Yeah, I think it's going to have to come down to individual thinking for themselves, which isn't always easy to do. The best we can do is just the best we can do, right? We can put the information out. We can talk about critical thinking and talk about what evidence is there, what evidence is not there, and hope that if someone really wants to know for themselves, then they're going to ask their own questions. I mean, think of any lesson, right? Any life lesson you've ever learned. I can tell you, don't touch the stove when it's glowing red hot. It's going to burn you and really hurt. And you might believe me on some level, but until you actually touch it for yourself and you feel that searing pain, the lesson won't fully be learned. I think in some cases, we could talk about this, but if we can get someone interested enough to start asking their own questions, then we've done something great, something really great.
You hit on, okay, two words, critical thinking. That is, I think, what is missing a lot. What we have, like returning to the idea of the multiple types of experience within the different cliques, what I see is people wanting to affirm their own beliefs rather than to take themselves out of the equation as much as possible and apply critical thinking and to try to determine what is really going on as opposed to just affirming their own beliefs. So, you know, I never needed anyone to put my hand on the stove. From the youngest age, I was bright enough to think that, okay, I can see what's going on there. I can feel the heat when I get close enough. I don't want to get any closer. So, you know, people do have the ability to figure it out, but they need to apply themselves.
You're right. And Randall, let me just, in all honesty, I had to touch the stove. Like I did. I admit it. I straight up. I knew it was hot. They said it was hot. I felt the heat when I got close, but still put the damn thing down until it burned. But just to quickly circle back to what Gene asked before about the reality shows, my sincere hope is that if these shows can spark some interest, and even 10% of the viewers spark something that gets you asking questions, then I'm grateful for that. And we already know taking it into the popular culture helps make it less fringe and lets people talk about it. So that's a good thing. So just to finish that thought, I do think that there is good in it. Yes, it can skew expectations of what's really out there. Things are dramatized and to varying degrees and so on. But at the same time, if it can get you talking, get you thinking, or at least on the path to that, then that's a good thing. And I welcome that.
Since we're talking a bit about critical thinking in the first place, what does that mean to you? Like a lot of people will say, okay, well, let's apply critical thinking, but it's more than just, well, we want to make common sense of it.
Yeah, I guess arriving at a place, not because you're told to be there, but because you've really explored the options and decided that's where you want to be. I'm an inquisitive person by nature, and I want to know how things work, and I want to know why they work, and I want to explore and have adventures and, you know, climb mountains and look out from the top and so on. And so that's just the way I'm wired. However, I recognize not everyone is wired that way, but at some point you do want to reach a conclusion. Otherwise, I think that that's too frustrating for a lot of people to have endless questions and no answers. So at some point you hope that someone reaches that place. So I think like religion, right, is one of those things where you're a lot of people are raised in a religion, so they don't know anything else. They just do what they've been taught since they were infants, and they're sort of indoctrinated into it.
Socialization. We've all socialized it to believe and behave in certain ways.
Yeah. And if I were starting a religion, I'd do that too. Start with the kids, keep them till they're old. I would run it the same way. I get it. And you need people to have babies and bring their babies up in that religion. That's how the business grows. I totally get it. However, faith unquestioned to me isn't really faith. Faith untested isn't really faith. I mean, shoot, my priests used to teach us that. And so they said faith untested isn't really faith. I would take it further to say unquestioned. So question it. Go ahead. And if you still reach that conclusion, I think that's fine. That's fine for you. We have to get there somehow. So for me, when I was a young kid and sleeping over at a friend's house who said his house was haunted, I had a question. Are there really ghosts? I don't think you're lying to me. I looked in their face. I looked in the faces of their parents. They had nothing to gain by telling me their house is haunted. In fact, anything, they had something to lose. And so I started asking questions. Are there ghosts? Could I see one for myself? Could I have my own experience? And that's what I've pretty much spent my career doing, is trying to answer that for me. And I'm happy to pass along everything that I learn. I realize I'm not going to come up with some collective answer that everyone's going to agree on. It's impossible. I gave up that years and years ago.
Yeah, I mean, okay, here's a quote for you. The unexamined life is not worth living.
Yeah, sure. unless you're just going like at 180 all the time, just total adrenaline junkie. That still sounds pretty cool to me too, though. You know, just bungee jumping, skydiving. Let's go.
Well, it's just experiencing life is awesome. I think we all need to do that. And there's no question that these experiences do change people's perspectives and worldviews quite dramatically when they actually have an experience. It's one thing to say, look, so long as it doesn't land on the green, it's fine. There can be aliens. But I would be willing to bet that if it actually happened to them while they were out on the green, I think they would have a completely different point of view on it. They would not be just thinking, well, you know, couldn't you have landed somewhere else?
Right,
they would truly get it.
It's a game changer, right? I mean, it's a game changer when you have that experience, because if you see what you perceive to be a ghost or spirit, when you have that experience, then the answer, is there life after death, is answered for you as an individual. You're like, I've tested the theory and I've reached my conclusion, period. If you see a craft that you say, I know enough about physics to know that nothing could fly like that, you know, or at that speed or make those sharp turns or whatever, then that gets answered for you. If you see an 8-foot tall hairy creature walking in the woods while you're out there in a tree stand hunting deer, and you go, that doesn't make sense, you know, you get the answer. There is a Bigfoot. I just saw it. And that's a profound thing. It's a life changer.
Before we get too far into the show here, and because you've got quite a list of them, I'd like to just go through the list of some of your books that you've got, and you can just tell us a bit about what's going on with them and some of their highlights. So now, you wrote The Encyclopedia of Haunted Places back in 2009. Can you tell us a bit about what that book is about?
We're going to have a break in 30 seconds.
All right.
And unless Jeff is a miracle worker, and I think he is, but if he's that kind of miracle worker where he can speak as fast as the Federal Express man, if you remember him years ago, a guy who spoke very, very fast. It's kind of like the people who list the problems you're going to have with that wonderful new drug. Oh, by the way, this is what it will do to you. Well, everybody's smiling and laughing, and don't get me started. Jeff Belanger is joining us, Ghost Hunter Extraordinaire. Is that a good one? Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website Angioprim.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we didn't want to give you, Jeff, only 30 seconds to talk about that book, but now you have some time.
So I've written 15 books, and so if we were going to give like a minute to each, that's just too much. And
Not really. No, I think we should go through some of them. So let's.
All right, if you want.
The Encyclopedia of Haunted Places. Let's talk about that first.
The idea was to just write a little on a lot of places, and I enlisted the help of paranormal investigators all over the world who wrote about some of their favorite haunts. I was the editor. I wrote plenty of the entries, but I edited the others, and they all have their own bylines, you know, the investigators. And so that was the idea. Just try to like bring that community together to talk about some of their favorite haunts. All of them are places the public can visit. So that was the only caveat. It couldn't be a private home. It had to be a place that someone could actually go and experience.
Oh, so that's pretty cool. So it's a collective of a bunch of different writers, not just yourself. That's very interesting.
Yeah, that was a fun project.
Okay, let's move on to Ghosts of War. Now, this is kind of interesting because we were talking earlier in the show about, well, people don't just see, you know, ghosts of people they don't know, but we've heard of these phantom legions and stuff, so maybe tell us a bit about that book.
Yeah, so when you spend a long time studying various phenomena, I always talked about don't put them in boxes. You can't help but put them into boxes. So there's this whole genre of, like, battlefields. So many battlefields have ghosts attached to them for good reason, I think. I mean, gosh, I've said for a long time, Gettysburg is haunted because it should be haunted, because we should never forget, because they never put in strip malls and stuff like that. That's what it looked like back then, for the most part. When you stand there and realize all the people who died, the thousands who were dead, missing, or wounded in the span of 3 days in July of 1863, if you don't feel something, I would argue that you're not human. And I'm not talking about a psychic impression. I'm talking about pure empathy, like the idea that you can tune into the emotions of others. And I think we can tune into the emotions of others even if they're not alive anymore, even if they've been dead for 150 years plus. That's what that is about. And those places are powerful and they're profound. And if we can connect with it, if we can understand what happened, like in that case during the Civil War, maybe we have a chance. You know, people talk about how divided the nation is now and so on. When you're a student of history, you can look back and go, huh, it's been worse. it's been much worse.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at some of the reenactments about those, I mean, yeah. People like, you know, getting their heads taken off with cannonballs and stuff. Like,
sure.
That is really grisly stuff. It's hard to believe that. It makes you wonder how the human race has managed to advance as far as it has when people behaved like that in past history. And history is so full of that kind of stuff. It's just amazing.
Yeah, so to me that was just kind of exploring some of those battle sites. So it's a history book, and it's a book about ghost sightings at those places, because a good ghost story, there's no secret to the formula. It starts at the end, like a mystery. You have a ghost, and now you have to ask, well, who is this ghost and why is it here? And in a battlefield, that question is often answered sort of easily. You go back and you look at what left a mark in that location, and then you can connect. The thing about Gettysburg is so many people died in that battle that numbers are cold. You know, I mean, you can't connect. You can't connect to 3,000 dead at 9/11, right? It's just, that's a number. It's a cold number. But when you tell the story of one individual, one person who was a father, a brother, a husband, a son, and so on, and you connect with him, then multiply that by thousands, and then you've got something. So I think ghosts are a powerful way for us to connect with some of the horrors of our past, because they will haunt us. They will continue to haunt us, as they should, and I'm grateful for that.
Okay, so moving on with hauntings, who's haunting the White House?
That was my first children's book. That was such a fun project to work on.
It's a kid's book.
Yeah, it was for middle readers. So it's illustrated, and it was such a great project. I did that for Sterling, the publishing company. And I had written about the White House in my first book, The World's Most Haunted Places. I just had a little chapter on it. But there were so many stories and so many credible stories from great witnesses, from presidents to employees and so on. I said, this deserves its own book. And so I called the White House, and this was back when George W. Bush was president, which actually is irrelevant to the story. It's just that happened to be the time period. And I called the main number. This is back when people used telephones. And so I called the main number and the switchboard, and I said, hi, I'm an author, and I'm looking to do a book about the ghosts of the White House, and I'm not quite sure who to talk to. And they were like, hold on, let me put you through. That was it. I just, like, almost verbatim told you the conversation with the switchboard operator of the White House. 20 seconds later, I'm on the phone with the boss, and the boss is not the president. Like, the boss is the chief usher. The chief usher is the person that all the employees of the White House report to. That's like the cleaning crew, the butlers, the groundskeepers. This chief usher, Gary Walters, had been there since Nixon. He'd served every president since Nixon and has spent more time in that building, I would argue, than any president. I mean, sure, he gets to go home at the end of the day, but if you put in 40, 60, 80 hours a week for all those years, that's going to add up more than 8 years in office for somebody. Yeah, so I was like, you are like the star witness, my man. And I said, hey, I want to do a book about the ghosts of the White House. And he said, yeah, we're not interested. And I said, well, wait, it's a children's book, and we're going to use ghosts as like an innovative way to teach history to kids. So, you know, you can't know who a ghost is unless you know who a ghost was. And he said, go on. Okay. Like, I got you now. So with some help from my congressman, who got me the clearance, and then I had to do a background check, and I got to go down there, and I got a private tour. I got to see the place. I got to interview Gary Walters and talk to some of the other staff. These folks are just amazing. They're amazing patriots, amazing historians. They serve their country by serving that house. And I think there's a reason that they refer to the president as like POTUS, right? They don't want to call him by name, because if you call him by name, that becomes a fallible person. And I don't think a Secret Service agent would ever take a bullet for Barack or George or Don or Bill, but they would absolutely, without a question, take a bullet for POTUS, the president of the United States. They would take a bullet for their country. And that represents their country. And I realized that's how they think about it. They also were very forthcoming about their ghosts. I spoke to a butler who said, yeah, I walked upstairs on the second floor. That's the living area. It was early in the morning. I turned the lights on, and there's Abraham Lincoln sitting with his legs crossed. He looked right at me, and then he disappeared.
Wow.
And I said, okay, this is one of the most credible witnesses you will ever find. Now, Harry S. Truman wrote about the ghosts like six different times in letters to his wife. He wrote about the ghosts. Reagan mentioned the ghosts. The Clintons mentioned the ghosts. The Obamas. It comes up again and again. But those folks are presidents and first families. We don't drug test them. We don't psychologically screen them. We don't background check them. nothing. They could be crazy and on drugs. However, the foreman, the chief operations foreman of the White House, is drug tested, is background checked, is psychologically screened because he's around the president, the first family, foreign heads of state, and everybody else. If he says he saw a ghost, I believe him more than any president in my lifetime. And that was his most credible witness that I'll ever hear. And the stories are so well documented, whether it's letters that are in presidential libraries or whatever. I called all the presidential libraries. They were so helpful. It was just an incredible experience and a fun book that came together. It's out of print now, but it is available as an audiobook if you're in audible.com.
Well, that's a really interesting story. And for, you know, the people out there wondering, you know, why am I going through? This isn't just to promote your books, but it gives us a view, a lens into your writing and the fascinating kinds of stories that you just talked about there. And we do have quite a few people in our audience who like to hear how it is that people write books, especially when they're very prolific, because we have writers and other people who are interested in the paranormal, just like yourself. Thanks for sharing that. I found that quite fascinating. Yeah. Okay. So now we can go communicating with the dead. Here we go.
Yes. So my first book was World's Most Haunted Places, and I was trying to answer one question: are there ghosts? I think for me, that's the best way to approach something as big as a book, is try to answer like one, maybe two questions. And I felt like I answered that yes, there are. What they are, you know, I don't know, but like, yes, there are. So communicating with the dead was about, well, if they're out there, then can we bridge the gap? Can we communicate? It's not like a psychic how-to. It's more of like a historical look at things like the Ouija board, which we talked about earlier, and dowsing rods and esoteric tools and spirit photography, which had been around since not too long after the daguerreotype came on the scene, and automatic writing. The ways and means that people use to try to bridge that gap and the history of it and the practice of it. That was a really fun project for me because I just met so many interesting people that this is clearly a part of their spirituality, right? It's not just a practice. It's not occult per se, although I get occult means mystery. So I guess it's that a little bit. But for the most part, it was just them expressing their spirituality, but in a very tangible way, in that they're reaching out to specific people and believe they're getting specific answers, as opposed to just praying to God and hoping you get a new job or whatever.
With Gene, Jeff, and Randall Urin.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.